Welcome to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com. Each week during the season, Coach Callahan and Matt Harmon will talk Hawks football with a look back to the past Saturday's game and a glance ahead to what's coming up. The show is broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End, and you're invited to be part of the action. Now, let's get the latest on the Monmouth Hawks from Matt and Coach Cal.
And it is Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and we are live here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Matt Harmon along with the head coach of the Hawks, Kevin Callahan. We do this each and every Tuesday night during the football season. Tonight we will talk about Mama's game last week. On the show this evening, a trio of seniors, secondary member Andrew Sutton, linebacker Dave Demersion, and wide receiver Tristan Roberts. We started off each and every week looking back at last week's game, which if you were a fan and you like points, you saw a bunch of them. Unfortunately for Monmouth, they come up just a little bit short in the first ever matchup with an Ivy League team up in Ithaca, New York on Saturday afternoon, 41-38 against Cornell. Coach, so much to talk about with this game. It was a wild game, number one. And, you know, as I said, if you liked offense and you liked points, you had so much of both. But unfortunately, defensively for Monmouth, and we can start there, there were certainly some issues during the course of the day where every time you kind of felt like Monmouth getting back into it and at one point taking the lead, the defense just couldn't get enough done.
Well, that's true, Matt. We couldn't come up with the stops when we actually, you know, when we needed to. I thought in the first half we struggled to get pressure on their quarterback, and they did some interesting things to kind of help, you know, fend off our pressure, and I thought we got that straightened around in the second half. And then we couldn't get off the field on third down in the second half. And as you said, I thought our offense did an exceptional job of continuing to score points and putting us ourselves in a position to win, and at one point getting us right back in the game. And I think it really came down to needing to get that one stop in the fourth quarter. And had we done that, I think we would have won the game the way our offense was playing.
A couple of things for you, and I know it's never fun to talk about things after a loss, but I think everyone had thought once they had heard that their quarterback, Jeff Matthews, would not play, that at least from us up in the press box, we kind of breathed a sigh of relief because of what everyone had talked about with him and potential NFL draft pick. Cornell coaches decided to hold him out with a neck injury. And in comes Chris Amrine, who is a senior, so he certainly knows the program and knows the offense. And then he goes out and throws for over 500 yards. Was that a surprise to you at all? I mean, in a way, it had to have been when a backup quarterback throws for 500 yards.
Well, it was certainly a surprise that he threw for that many yards. I mean, I don't think any of us expecting something like that. I think what he did is he demonstrated that being a senior, he's very comfortable within the offense. He threw some great balls and allowed his receivers to make plays. I was very impressed by his accuracy and really how he was able to keep himself alive back there when we did get some pressure on him. As I said before, I thought we gave him an awful lot of time, too much time if you ask me. And they did an interesting thing, Matt. They played a lot of the game with six offensive linemen, and at times six offensive linemen and a tight end in there that they kept in for protection. And they were blocking their seven against our four. We decided to pressure them, and they got us into, I think, a couple of mismatches, in terms of coverage personnel against some of the receivers, and they were able to take advantage of that.
Luke Tasker, the wide receiver for Cornell, 11 catches for 280 yards, which obviously was a huge day. Was it a question of him finding holes in the zone, beating man-to-man coverage, or kind of a combination thereof? Probably depending on what we were doing defensively.
Well, I think it was a combination of both. And, you know, there were times I thought we did a very good job of covering the receivers and had everybody locked down. And, you know, those would be the times when, you know, he had so much time that somebody was bound to come open sooner or later. They did a good job, beating us in some man coverages, and they also did a good job of finding some open areas in the zones.
How about offensively? I'll give you the numbers. 151 yards rushing, 451 passing, 602 total, and you score 38 points. I mean, all of that, I'm sure in your mind, should add up to a Monmouth win all the time almost.
Without a doubt. When you have those type of numbers and, you know, you look at the stat sheet and you see what you're able to do, and, you know, I said, that's a game you win. And, you know, unfortunately, their stat sheet looked almost the same. And, you know, I think our defense has to take the fall for that. I thought we played well enough in special teams and certainly well enough on offense to come away with a victory. You know, on the defensive side, we didn't get the job done Saturday.
Kyle Frazier named as the NAC Offensive Player of the Week for the third time this season, 35 of 45. He throws for a career high and a program high, 451 yards and four touchdowns. The one good thing I guess you could take out of even a loss like that is that when you see your quarterback continue to battle and continue to do good things, and, you know, I think there's still been some who said, is he all the way back from his knee injury? When he has a big day like that, I think maybe questions answered.
Well, I think there's no doubt he's all the way back. And, you know, what he was able to do throwing the ball I think was very impressive, but equally as impressive is what he was able to do with his feet and running the ball. A number of times he got himself out of trouble in the pocket and picked up positive yardage. And then even involved in our kind of our fear read scheme and in the run game, he was able to keep it a couple of times for some big chunks of yardage. So, you know, he was a dual threat on Saturday. He threw the ball extremely accurately. He was 35 of 45 on the day. He ran the ball. He converted key third downs. He did just about everything. And you also got to credit, you know, the receivers that we had. I think the ball was spread around to a number of different guys, and many of them, so many of them, made big plays. Tristan Roberts, who we'll hear about, you know, hear from in a little bit later here, had a big catch for a touchdown, 85 yards, I believe it was. Neil Sterling had another big catch where he dragged, you know, three guys into the end zone with him, the last 12 yards to get a key score to bring it to within 41-38. And, you know, set up that onside kick at the end. So I think we had great performances all the way around on the offensive side. And Kyle, as you said, set the record, Northeast Conference record and Monmouth's record on that day as well.
Talk about Roberts, who we'll have some time to talk with during the course of the night tonight. Seven catches for 174 yards. Did have that long touchdown catch for 85 yards. Coach, it's certainly frustrating when your defense can't make the stop that you do, but it's not, I think everyone maybe thinks it's that much easier. Well, just do something a little bit different. I mean, I'm sure during the course of not necessarily the first half, but even in the second half when Monmouth able to pull ahead 23-20 on an Eric Spillane field goal, going into the fourth quarter, there's still questions that are trying to be answered, right, during the course of that game. And I'm sure there wasn't a page in the playbook that didn't get turned to say, hey, why don't we give this a shot?
Yeah, we did. We tried a lot of different schemes, a lot of different strategies. We also, you know, changed and played some different personnel. We were trying to go with some pressure. We were trying to go with extra defensive backs and coverage. And, you know, it seemed like we were always just a step behind in what we were doing, or they were a step ahead. And, you know, that was frustrating, I'll be honest with you. And I'm with you, Matt. When we took the lead 23-20 at the beginning of the fourth quarter, I felt we were in a good spot right there. I said, okay, we get this next stop, we're going to go score again and increase our lead to 10 points. We got them into a third down situation in that ensuing drive and then let them off the hook on third down. I think, you know, in the fourth quarter alone, defensively, we were 0 for 4 on third downs, and that's an area that we have been outstanding at this year. Our third down percentage has been outstanding on the defensive side, and it was tough to see that not be the same case on Saturday.
What was, maybe expletives aside, what was Sunday like watching the film with the players defensively?
Well,
it's got to be hard. I mean, you sit there and basically, as you said, the defense kind of, in a way, has to take the blame for this game, where I'm sure the film session wasn't any fun on Sunday.
It wasn't, and I think it was very obvious to the guys when they watched it, you know, where the breakdowns occurred and why they broke down. And, you know, it wasn't one specific area or one specific player, as usually is the case. It was a combination of different guys at different times. And, we just got to do a better job than that. We're a better defense than what we've showed. And, you know, certainly in the last two games that we've played, and I think we demonstrated that earlier in the season, and we got to get back to be playing the type of defense we did through the first 4 weeks.
Well, I think that's part of the question, and I'm sure some of them will be answered this week when Mama takes on Bryant, who comes in off their first week. Is when you think about the way that the season has unfolded, it was the defense, really, that through the first 4 weeks of the season, Mama gets off to a 3-1 start. Defensively, though, the offense did have some good days. It was the defense that really carried things a lot. Now the last 2 weeks against Albany and last week against Cornell, I hate to say it's kind of caved in a little bit, but in a way that it has. I mean, I think the layperson would say, what's happened the last 2 weeks?
Right. You know, and more than the layperson, there's a lot of us here in the office that are saying that as well. And, you know, I think it's a combination of things. I think that, you know, once you get four games on tape and people have an opportunity to break you down and see you over the course of a number of different games, you know, if you have some blemishes, if you have some weaknesses, you know, they become a little bit more obvious and they're easier to target than they are in those early season games. And I think, too, you know, we've had some players who, you know, haven't been up to full strength in some of the positions, and I think that's been a little bit of it as well. And I think that we've lost some of the continuity that we had earlier on when the same guys played and the same guys started throughout weeks 1 through 4.
So just about halfway through the season, it's an 11-game schedule this year, so at 3-3, do you slash the team? Is there a couple of games that you kind of still look back at and say we let a couple maybe get off? We could very, very easily be 5-1 rather than 3-3.
Well, without a doubt, I think, you know, as we, you know, said earlier in one of the previous shows, you know, in week one, I think we were in a position to win the Lehigh game. We had a couple of opportunities late in that game to get to go ahead and score, and we didn't do that. And I think last Saturday is another one, the Cornell game. To take nothing away from what Cornell did, I thought they played a great game offensively, but so did we. And we took the lead going into the fourth quarter, and that's something that we have to be able to make stand up.
Final question on Cornell, and kind of deals again with either Saturday after the game or Sunday. I think one of the strengths of this team has been the maturity and the experience. Is there at any point have to be an extra coaching discussion that maybe takes place either individually or as a group where there's no finger pointing going on between guys on offense, guys on defense, where it becomes, hey, we did our job, you didn't do your job on Saturday?
Well, I think as you look at the, you know, what's happened, you know, over the course of our season, there have been games where we've, you know, kind of both been at fault, if you want to call it that. And I think the players on this team are mature enough, and they understand that in order to win and win consistently, you've got to perform in all areas, whether it's offense, defense, or in the area of special teams. And, you know, Saturday was one of the games, you know, that I look at, and I didn't think that was the case. I didn't think we got the top-level performances in all three areas, and, you know, the obvious one being on the defensive side. So, you know, we've got to get back to doing that. But I think, you know, the players on this team also understand that, you know, we have an opportunity to have a very good season here. We just got to get ourselves back on track. And, you know, the defensive guys are, you know, they don't feel good. They have a bad taste in their mouth about what took place on Saturday as well. So I'm very, very confident that they'll, you know, bounce back and respond in a very big way come Saturday.
Well, hopefully the recipe on Saturday afternoon is a good one for Monmouth. Back at home, number one, against Bryan, which has struggled a little bit, number two, and homecoming, number three. That looks like it will be played under pretty good conditions as opposed to the last year. Coach, before we take our quick break, we'll go through the scores from last week and just kind of pick out a couple of things. It was another interesting week in the NEC, and we'll start with league play. Central Connecticut State getting their first win of the season, number one, and first NEC win, beating Duquesne 38-31. I'm sure that kind of was an eye-opener for a bunch of people.
It certainly was, and, you know, I'm one of those people. You know, Duquesne had been rolling along. You know, I know what they have, and I thought, you know, they've got a very talented team, and I fully expected that they would go up to Central Connecticut and win that game. But again, Matt, that just shows you the type of parity and the type of balance there is in the NEC. You know, and the numbers that Central put up, especially rushing the ball, were very impressive. And, you know, it was a surprising score. But then again, when I look at it in the big picture and see what happens week to week in the NEC, I'm not all that surprised.
Another one of those weeks for Albany. St. Francis, Pennsylvania, up 10-0 after one quarter of play, and then Albany just dominates after that, outscoring the Red Flash 36-3. The Great Danes continuing to roll 36-13. Now at 6-1, and again, they are undefeated still in league play.
Albany's doing an incredible job. You know, they've had a couple of slow starts. You know, I think in the Bryant game they fell behind early 14-7. They did so again in the St. Francis game, but, you know, they're a veteran team, and they know how to put the pedal to the metal, so to speak, and get things, get the ship righted. And they did that again on Saturday.
There was another NEC Ivy League matchup. Sacred Heart beat Dartmouth 27-10. That might be, you know, one of the ones I hate to say you didn't pay a whole lot of attention to, because you've already played Sacred Heart, and their standing might not have a whole lot to do with things as it unfurls, but always good for an NEC team to beat an out-of-conference team.
It's great for the conference. Anytime we step out, any of the teams step out of league play and get a victory, whether it's an Ivy League team, Patriot League team, CAA team, I think that does a lot for the league itself. And I think it also makes a statement to the level of football that's being played in the NEC, that we can go into these non-conference games and get quality victories.
We'll hold the last one, though. I'll give it a score. We'll talk about it in our last segment tonight. Bryant did get their first win of the year. They beat Robert Morris 38-35. We'll talk about that one in our preview segment, which comes up at the end of the show. We'll take our first time out. When we come back, we'll be joined by senior wide receiver Tristan Roberts, off to a great start this year, leading the team in receptions and yards. We'll do it all after this quick break. You listen to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show here on the Shore Sports Network. We're back in 2 minutes.
He is finishing his first term representing you in Congress and is ready to return to Capitol Hill.
You have to put the time and work in, so when the opportunity presents itself, you're there to jump on it. You know what that is? That's the American drive. That's the American people.
She is the widow of the man he defeated, with her own ideas for New Jersey and America, and a legacy to fulfill.
I want to talk with people, work things out the way Congress is supposed to do, and the way my husband did it.
Thursday, November 1st at 7 p.m., Shelley Adler and John Runyon, the climactic debate at Ocean County College in Toms River, on air, online, and on your smartphone. Watch it on OCTV Channel 20 and hear it on the Town Square News Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and Ocean County's hometown station, 92.7 WOBM.
Calling all dog lovers, Caregiver Volunteers of Central Jersey is partnering with WOBM AM's Marianne Levy and her dog Tiramisu to present an afternoon of canine fun and education. Enjoy a therapy dog fashion show, a performance by the Prancing Paws Freestyle Club of New Jersey Dance Group, and a demonstration from the Toms River Police Department Canine Unit. It takes place at Toms River Intermediate East on Hooper Avenue in Toms River on Sunday, November 4th from 1 to 4 p.m. There'll be vendors, animal experts, a 50-50, door prizes, and you can meet Marianne, Tiramisu, and the therapy dog models. Only dogs in the show are allowed. Tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for children under 12. To purchase tickets, call Danielle at 732-505-2273, extension 202, or log on to caregivervolunteers.org. You can also purchase tickets at the door. All money raised goes toward Caregiver Canine's pet therapy programs. Don't miss Caregiver Canine's Variety Show on Sunday, November 4th.
You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
And we're back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, broadcasting tonight on 1160, 1310 AM. ShoreSportsNetwork.com. We get you set for a week number 7 for Monmouth coming up on Saturday afternoon against Bryan. It is homecoming in West Long Branch. Kickoff still set for 1 o'clock. Happy to have this guy on the show here tonight. He is Tristan Roberts, senior out of Connecticut. He has been now in his second year with Monmouth. And Tristan, first of all, welcome to the show. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Everything going well?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Good. Big game for you, obviously, last week in the loss to Cornell. Seven catches, 174 yards, including an 85-yard touchdown. That was a quick one-play, one-strike drive. Let's talk about that game real quick, and we'll have tons of time to get into some other stuff as well. How difficult is it for you to know that you had, you know, one of your best days, if not your best day, in a loss? Is that kind of difficult to take and deal with?
Yeah, actually, it's very difficult. Like, on a game like that, you just got to take the negatives of what happened and try to make it better for the next game. So you just got to keep building on what you didn't do right. You can't just look at what you did correct.
It's obviously, you know, a bit of a frustrating day, I think, for probably both sides of the football for different reasons. Number one, defensively, they had a tough day stopping Cornell. But offensively, do you guys ever get the sense like there's extra pressure, like, hey, we're obviously in a shootout here, you know, and whoever's going to – might be one of those games, whoever has the ball last is going to win. Does that build pressure-wise – for the offense, like every time we get the ball, we feel like we need to score?
A little bit, but I try not to focus on what the defense does and try to focus on what we do. We turned the ball over twice, and I think we should have won if we didn't turn the ball over. So it's on us. So I don't care about what the defense does. It's on the offense, and we got to take advantage of all our opportunities.
So many weapons this year coming in for Monmouth offensively. And anytime we've had some of the offensive guys on the show, I think your role more so than almost anybody else's. We have Lamar Davenport on. I think he could be in the same situation. But after last year and the season you had, you led the team in touchdowns, receptions with six, and you've kind of been off to a great start so far this year. Probably the one person who hasn't been a huge part of the offense this year has been Neil Sterling, you know, banged up with some injury problems, which has maybe put a little bit more on your shoulders. Have you dealt with extra pressure yourself, not having number 17 on the other side of the field as much?
No, not at all. Obviously, we need him back. He's a big factor on the team, but I think I can handle a little bit more, honestly, on my shoulders. But, you know, but Neil Sterling definitely helps us, and we wish he'd get back and healthy soon.
You know, Coach, I mean, if you look at the dynamics, last year Tristan had 37 catches for the season. This year he's got 34 already, so he has been more of a focal point of the offense. I mean, he wants the ball a little bit more, obviously, which every wide receiver does.
I like that.
But he has been a guy that has been counted on more this year than even last season.
He has. You know, as you mentioned, you know, with Neil out with the injury, you know, both Tristan and Lamar Davenport have gotten a bigger share of the load. They're getting more snaps or more plays per game than they maybe would have a year ago when everybody was healthy. And, you know, they're the two main guys that we're going to. And, you know, there's been plays where they played every single play of the game. That's unusual for a receiver. We like to rotate some guys in and keep them fresh as much as we can. But, you know, I've got to say that, you know, Tristan has handled that extremely well. You know, he gives great effort on every play. And it's really good to see him, you know, making plays and making positive contributions to our offense. He's having a great year, and I want to see it continue.
Now, Tristan, take the loss aside for a second from last week. Do you enjoy playing in games like Saturday where it's just back and forth, points, yards, or would you rather play in like a 14-12, 14-10 game?
I definitely like games like last week. That's what I'm about. You know, we receivers, we want the ball, we want to score, and it's fun. That's what makes the game so fun. Just scoring, going up and down the field, you know, clutch situations. You want to be that guy.
You know, your road here to Monmouth is now you're in your second year in your senior season. Your road to Monmouth kind of an interesting one. You know, you're a junior college guy. You went to Lackawanna Community College where you played for a couple of years. Talk about the transition that you had to make from playing junior college to last year playing here in FCS football.
The transition on the field is pretty much the same, but, like, we're going from different programs. It's kind of hard because then you got to relearn all the plays and the terminology and the system. So, but after you learn that, it's pretty much just football after that. You know what I mean? It's just simple.
Coach, how did you find Tristan? I mean, Monmouth is not a place where it's known for, hey, we're taking a lot of junior college guys in.
No, we do. We're not. And, you know, that's not a plan. It's just something that we haven't really explored to the extent that maybe some other programs do. But we go out to Lackawanna every year. We actually went out there. There was another guy that was on the team that Tristan played on that we had heard about. We went out to check him out a little bit. And as we were talking with the coach, he mentioned to us, you know, what Tristan had done for him and what he was doing, and that, you know, he really hadn't had anything solidified yet in terms of his plans for the following year. So we got involved with Tristan. Scott Van Zyl was our coach who went out there and visited with him, and we had Tristan come out here for a visit. He had to finish the year at, you know, the rest of that spring semester at Lackawanna. So we stayed in constant contact with him. And, you know, as soon as he finished there and graduated, he actually came here and started at summer school. So he was with us that first summer. So it was something that we tried to stay on top of all the way along. And, you know, we'd love to get more guys like Tristan coming out of those ranks.
Tristan, is it a situation for you where you come in after, you know, using a couple of years of eligibility at a junior college, or even now as a senior, I think, and Coach, you can jump in on this as well, I think you've probably established yourself as a leader by the way that you play on the field. Or even if you're a guy who's only in the program for a couple of years, you still have that capability of taking over a leadership role.
I think I do. And how you do it is just, you know, giving maximum effort on every play, you know, just trying to lead by example. You know, I obviously wasn't here for like 4 years like everybody else, so I don't, like, really know everyone like I should know everyone, but I just try to give all give a lot of effort and just give my all on the field, and people will probably follow.
Well, that's the one thing that, you know, and Tristan said it, and I was going to jump in and say that, you know, the effort that he plays with is outstanding. And Tristan not only plays for us on offense, but he's involved in a number of our different special teams. And so there's games where he rarely comes off the field, but he never pulls back or holds back on his effort. He can be out there on our punt return or punt block unit. He's giving the same effort there that he is when he knows the ball's coming his way on offense.
Tristan, a couple more questions, and we're here with Tristan Roberts, senior wide receiver from Monmouth. Andrew Sutton to follow, and hopefully Dave DeMersion after that. What's your favorite play? When you hear the play call, I would say in the huddle, but there is no huddle really anymore. When you look down at the armband and you have a big smile on your face right now, so there's got to be something that when Kyle calls it, you know, hey, this is it. I'm ready for this one. Because I want to write a little note to Coach Van Zyld, you know, in between tonight and Saturday, and say, make sure we call this play a little bit more.
I'll have to say a play that we just put in recently, a play called Stack. And on that play, I have like a kind of a deep post. And I just know that play is coming to me, and I just got to be ready for it. And it just makes me hype just to know what I'm going to do with it after I get it.
Now, how about some plans, obviously, after college winds up in May and you graduate?
Yeah.
I know that the office has been buzzing a little bit with some NFL scouts. Is it something, I hate to say, would you like to do it? Because I think everyone would like to do it. I mean, how excited are you about the fact that scouts are coming in to look at you as a potential player at the next level?
I'm very excited, but, you know, I know in the back of my head that everybody doesn't make it. So, you know, I just try to just focus on the season and my schoolwork, and then whatever happens, happens after season.
Coach, I mean, the office has been busy, and Tristan has been among the guys whose scouts have been coming in.
We've had guys in at least every week, and in some weeks almost every day. And, you know, Tristan is one of the guys that they have an interest in. But, you know, I think Tristan has a great perspective on it as well. While there's somebody he's looking at, he knows it. Hey, there's nothing guaranteed on it, but it is nice to be noticed. It is nice to get that attention, and, you know, they come in and they talk with the coaching staff. They look at video. They come out and watch practice, maybe not the whole practice, but portions of it. So, you know, he's on some people's radar right now, and we'll see where that goes. I think that, you know, finishing up with a very strong performance in each of the remaining five games could only enhance what opportunities may be out there.
Tristan, final question before we let you go. And you were smart to be first. We've learned something here. The guys who are first usually can enjoy now the last half hour of the show. Wait for your food to come in, kind of dig in. If the other guys have ordered, you can sample theirs while they're up here doing their talking.
Got here too.
Let's talk a little bit about Saturday, how important it is for you guys to get back on the winning track against Bryant.
It's very important. We're right back in the NEC play, and we got to finish the season strong. You know, I don't want to go out as losers, you know, like we did last year. So hopefully we just come out on Saturday and just focus up and come out intense and ready to give our all.
Just appreciate the time. Enjoy a little dinner. I'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Thank you.
How's he doing, class?
He's doing fantastic. Fantastic. He's getting a good test grade back tomorrow.
We'll check up on him. Great job, Tristan.
Tristan Roberts here giving us a few minutes. We'll step out, take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some defensive side of the football with senior Andrew Sutton. We'll do this all after a quick pause, a 60-second timeout. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.